Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Gets a touch, but he helps out. Oh,
that is a man's jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the King's Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the King's Court Podcast. I'm your host, Vince Miracle. Joining me, as always, is Mr. Joe Morgan. Joe, what's going on, man?
Oh, another beautiful week. For those of you who don't know, just got back from Summer League, still kind of shaking it off, a little bit tired. Good times, though, good times. Got to meet a whole lot of fun people. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we got a studio pat today because we're starting something brand new. So Joe just could not come back from Summer League by himself. He found a little red flower or whatever it's called from Jungle Book. He's here in the building. Mr. Josh Means. Josh, what's going on?
How's it going, Joe? I mean, Vince, it feels good to be back in here.
He knows
clearly Vegas was a long weekend for me.
And the other person we have, you guys have not probably heard him since 2014 when he was a special guest on the YouTube show of the King's Court. He is a Knickerbocker fan, but that's all right because he kind of loves the Kings since he lives in Sacramento. It is Mr. Eli Isakharov. Eli, welcome back to the show in 2 years.
Hey, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So, just so you guys know what we're talking about today, we are going to be reviewing Summer League, the things that we're seeing from these rookies, Scal, LeBCA, Yorgos Papayannis, Isaiah Cousins, so on and so forth. Josh and Joe are both there, so they'll give us their thoughts from being in person. I'll give my thoughts from what I was able to see from the television screen since I was not able to go due to some unfortunate things that happened in my personal life. I won't get too much into that. And then we're going to do the game between Josh and Eli. I mean, I've been mentioning it both on the Hoopball Fantasy Pod and on here that I've been working on a game. It's a trivia game, not necessarily about the Kings, but on the NBA in general. So that's going to be kicking off in about, let's say, 15 minutes, and this will be kind of rounding out the show. So, Joe, Josh, let's start off with you guys. You guys were both out in Vegas. Joe was driving around the wrapped-up six-man truck. First, before we start talking about players, what were the fans like when they saw you in that truck? Were they just, like, running toward you, like, let me take a picture?
Bro, it's actually more fun to drive around Sacramento in that thing just because I get the funniest looks. You can't see through the back window, so every time I'm seen, somebody just assumes that I'm some driver and that somebody important's in the back.
And they get to the point when you walk out?
Well, no, they wave at the blacked-out windows in the back. They act as if somebody is behind me, and they're like, hi, and there's nobody back there. It's hilarious. So I'm just cracking up at people all day. Like, yep, he's back there. No, go ahead, wave. Yeah, it's him.
Josh, let's go to you. Let's talk about the first player. What's the first player that came to your mind when you were watching this team? Like, when you were there for the time that you were to see those two games, what player that the Kings out of the Kings rookie did you see, and you were like, oh, wow. You know, he jumped off the page. Maybe I wasn't expecting that from this one guy.
The guy that jumped off the page most to me was Scal. He came in. I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of him. I kind of thought Willie Cauley-Stein and Papayannis were going to take the reins as the big guys. And he came in and he put in work on the block. He was shooting. He really surprised me.
For me it was Scal. And I talked to Joe about this maybe like 2 days ago or even yesterday. He did show promise. We see the potential, and maybe he's the saving player from this Kings draft from moving back and moving away from guys like Wade Baldwin and things like that and picking Papayannis and the things that he needs to work on still, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But Joe, what were your thoughts on Scal after watching him play in those two games?
Well, I mean, he was averaging 11 points the whole time he was out there, which is really good for Summer League. It was looking good for him as the highest scorer on a team that, you know, didn't perform. He was the scoring option. What really stood out to me, though, from Summer League wasn't him. It was how soft Papayana seemed to play. It was painful to watch. It was like, he has so much to work on. I'm really hoping that between, you know, now and the actual season, that kid can bulk up and actually get a little bit more physical. It seemed like he was afraid to go into the paint.
He's like a giant Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah,
right now.
That's exactly what I was thinking, and it was hard to watch, because if that's going to be, you know, our highest draft pick, our number 13 pick, you know, that if that's the Kings' pick, well, God, I hope he works it out. Because, but hey, Scala Bissier seemed to be the diamond in the rough that they picked up late in the draft, and he was shooting the ball great. He was getting rebounds. He was all over the floor. He's playing defense, playing offense. He had the whole thing wrapped up. He was doing really well.
Eli, go to you real quick, and you saw Yorgos Papayannis. He struggled quite a bit during Summer League. When you saw the Kings drafted him, and then you see how his struggles are going on, how do you think fans should justify seeing something like that in Summer League, or is it just still too early for fans to really start looking at things like this?
It's a bit too early, I guess, really give accurate, you know, judgment of what he's going to be in the NBA considering his Summer League. But, you know, with him being such a high draft pick and the Kings' struggles in the past, fans are desperate for results now. And with the struggles in the Summer League, it's just not the results aren't there. So I can understand the Kings' fans being frustrated and kind of concerned about, you know, one draft, another big man, and is this going to be another bust, another Jason Thompson, if you will? So, I mean, we'll see.
For me, with Scal and Papayannis, the things that I took away from it, and this is like the big thing that I took away from both those guys seeing them play, was that the Kings still can't move Kostas Koufos now. There's still a lot of things these guys need to work on to where Kostas Koufos becomes a very big asset for this team going into next season, because I don't think either one of them can really come in and be that backup center, that backup power forward for this team right away, especially Papayannis, who the biggest problem for me offensively was that he tried to do this thing where he can just back down for 8 to 10 seconds and then do a hook that did not go in ever, maybe, but like twice throughout the entire Summer League. That's a problem, because you can't do that in the modern-day NBA. Go ahead.
Well, and he was only backing down guys smaller than him. He never tried to back down anybody the same size.
And he still couldn't really move them.
He was having a hard time even moving guys that weren't as big as him, and he never would go against somebody the same size or bigger. He just would not get in the paint and back him up. And that's definitely, I mean, obviously, that's a skill you have to have. That's not something you can not have as a center.
And then for Scout, I mean, it's something that we're going to talk about, and we talked about the day he got drafted, is his size. And he was getting the ball ripped out of his hands by point guards, by small. Anyone that you would think is smaller than him was stronger than him. And that's something that he's going to have to work on going into the regular season and throughout the entire training camp and throughout the entire regular season. And how many minutes he gets, I think, is going to be kind of up in the air. But I think he showed that the Kings are possibly winning in this deal where they got him at number 28 because of Scal and the potential that he's shown. From people that I talked to, I mean, I guess his mental stability is a huge question mark, just because there's questions of maybe Coach K like kind of pushing him around a little bit, bullying him during the college ranks. But, you know, he showed that he's ready to come in and prove why he was a top two prospect coming out of high school going into college. And I do like the fact that he was doing it in so many different ways. He did get players in the post, bigger than him and smaller than him, and trying to move him. He didn't move him far, maybe like a step or two back, but he was able to get a hook shot. He wasn't afraid to do that turnaround jump shot. He showed fearlessness. I think that's what you have to do in the Summer League, and he was consistent with it. And that's what I really appreciated by seeing him. Go on to the guards now. Let's hear your guys' thoughts on Malachi Richardson.
Malachi. Well, man, he was having a hard time hitting any shots. His shooting percentage, I don't have it in front of me, but it was just, he was not able to hit his shots. We were hoping that he was going to come in and he was going to be a sniper from deep, and it just wasn't the case. Now, hopefully that changes. Hopefully this is just Summer League. It's jitters. It's your first time in a big kid uniform. It's your first time playing in front of a national audience. Well, I mean, hey, he was in college. He played in front of a national audience. I don't know. I can't give an excuse to it. I can't give a reason why it was so rough for him. Obviously, that next level of talent, you know, in between the NBA and college is the summer league level of talent. It's like above D-League but below NBA. So it's a step up, but it's not the full step. And if he couldn't make it work down there, man, what is he going to do when he gets higher? And it really worried me. It worried me how he was playing. Defensively, I can't even speak to it. There was nothing there that I saw that I was excited about. There was no play. There was not one single time where I said, wow, that's the effort I want to see. That was the drive I want to see. You know, where he stripped somebody and he just smashed it down. Nothing. And so, again, what do you say that's positive about a summer league performance? I mean, hey, it's only 5 games. It is in summer. It's not the NBA, but still, not as impressed as I thought I'd be with him.
Well, Josh, let's go to you. Did you see any positives? Because he said there's not too many to take away. But did you see anything that maybe like fans probably didn't notice, or while you being there seeing it, maybe there were some positive takeaways going into training camp?
I saw a couple positive takeaways from Malachi's game. Like Joe said, he didn't really wow too much, and the Kings fans all want somebody that will come in and wow right off the bat. But one thing I was really impressed with was his shot selection. The first game we went to, he was 4 of 5 from deep, and he was taking smart shots. The second game, he was playing against Buddy Hield, and I think that took away a lot of his offensive game because he was spending so much time chasing him around on defense. And he did pretty well against Buddy Hield in the first half until Buddy Hield just erupted in the second. But I was really impressed with his shot selection. He wasn't settling for the open jumpers. He would pump fake and drive. He would try and work to the basket. It's just a matter of getting better at finishing.
Yeah, there's something about his IQ that really did bother me in a lot of the games I saw him play in. One being that when he had it on a fast break, he had Willie Cauley-Stein as the one following him down the court, wide open, could have kicked it to him. There was Duye Duke and in the corner, and instead he wanted to try and charge through two people and make a layup and try and get to the foul line. Charge was called, the ball goes the other way. Wide open jump shots, they were being missed. They're comparing him to J.R. Smith early on in his career, someone who is just a straight volume shooter, likes to shoot the basketball. And, you know, he showed that he's going to be very inconsistent. He showed exactly what his draft stock was when they drafted him, someone who is going to be hit or miss. He's either going to be making a lot of shots and they're going to come in bunches, or he's going to be missing a lot of shots and they're going to come in bunches. And
I'm just hoping we don't have a whole another year where we got to find a name for him. Marco! And nothing. Marco, and it misses. So what are we going to say now?
I think he's going to be a bench guy. You're going to have Garrett Temple, Aaron Aflalo, and Ben McLemore higher than him on the depth chart. I think this is where he's going to have to develop in the Reno D-League, or Reno Bighorns in the D-League, and kind of, you know, put one and two together so he can make it to that next level and possibly take Ben McLemore's spot if Ben McLemore does find a way to get traded, or the Kings find a way to move him. Eli, let's go over to you real quick, because you've been kind of silent here for a second. But when I don't think you were able to watch too much of Malachi Richardson, but you're hearing these things of a inconsistent shooter, questions on defense, someone whose basketball IQ is kind of a little bit up and down. When you're hearing things like that, what are things that, you know, you watch the Knicks, you watch a lot of young players come through. Yeah. What do they have to start improving on to make them get to that next level and be ready?
For who? Malachi Richardson?
Yeah, for Malachi Richardson. Just in general, just a shooter that, or a scorer, someone like a J.R. Smith, what did he have to improve on to get better? So something like Malachi Richardson, what do they have to improve on?
It's just focus. It's understanding the game and situational awareness and focusing. I guess a player like Malachi Richardson can make you appreciate Aaron Aflalo more, because the lack of depth at the two-guard position and lack of consistency at the two-guard position for the Kings has been a real struggle for the past few years, and Aaron Aflalo is a good signing, I suppose, considering what's out there, or what there was. But Malachi Richardson is going to be backing him up, and Temple, and Ben McLemore. He's going to be fourth on the depth chart on already a weak shooting guard team, so that doesn't bode well for him. But if he does have that J.R. Smith mentality, that shooter's mentality where he's just going to put shots up, that can be good. You know, that's confidence. That's him being like, I'm going to get mine. So if he's that type of player, he could develop quicker than someone who's tentative and who is apprehensive about shooting.
Yeah, and I like Malachi Richardson. I think that I'm a little bit higher on him after summer league than I was on draft day. Because, I mean, I came on this show after, and I was like, I don't like him. I don't like that pick. I think there was other player. Furkan Korkmaz was available, and he's been showing the promise for the Sixers during Summer League. And I don't want to read too much into Summer League just because it is Summer League.
Yeah.
And there's five games they played, and they lost all five of them. And plus, you're seeing just certain talents like a Jaylen Brown or even a Trey Lyles for Utah. I like Trey Lyles, don't get me wrong, but he's not going to be getting like 26 and 12 on any given night. You're not going to see certain things like that happen. So I'm not reading too much into Malachi Richardson, but I will say I'm a little bit higher on him just because, kind of like something that Eli said, I mean, he's a fearless shooter. He's going to shoot the ball no matter what. He has confidence in his jumper. He has confidence in his game. And maybe he becomes one of those players like a J.R. Smith where he's better at shooting the basketball with a hand in his face than he is a wide-open jumper. I mean, unlike this past season, J.R. Smith hit him, but just in general, you know, if he has that confidence to continue shooting the basketball, I think that's something that you want to develop and keep, you know, working with, especially since the team does have a D-League team where they can move him to and see how he can develop. One player that I want to bring up for Josh and Joe before we, you know, move on to the game here is Duye Dukin. I mean, the thing that he had to kind of go through of, he was out of practice when he found out the Kings waived him and Caron Butler on the same day. You know, he was like, hey, guess what? You know, we waived, you're not going to be part of this, but you're still going to be on our summer league team, and you can try and fight your way to a roster and prove people wrong, kind of like Seth Curry did last year. And we saw it last season for the Kings when he played against Houston. His confidence was kind of up and down. He kind of didn't seem like he knew where he wanted to be on the floor. He came out into summer league and proved that he wanted to be in this league. He proved that he wanted a roster spot on someone's team, and he was knocking down jumpers. He was getting people in the post and looking to pass. I mean, you guys saw him in person. What was Duye Dukin like on the floor? Because, I mean, I wasn't paying full attention to him. I was watching a lot of it for the rookies and trying to get my stuff ready for hoop ball and things like that. But you guys got to see Duye. What were your thoughts? Either one of you guys can just jump in and take that.
He was constantly moving. He's likes to roam around the three-point line so that he can shoot, and he can definitely space the floor. I hope he gets picked up by some team. I know every team in the league wants more shooting on their team, and he brings it. He looks a little bigger.
Yeah?
Yeah, muscle watch, hashtag.
What about you, Joe? What did you see from him?
Well, for a small forward, he wasn't being given enough shots. He was roaming around the three, but nobody seemed to get it out to him enough. He just wasn't going to. He's certainly not going to be Rudy's replacement if Rudy moves. He's going to end up probably going back down to Reno if somebody else doesn't offer him a contract. I don't see him coming up this year and making an impact. He just doesn't seem to have that. He's kind of like John Stockton, where he's almost too good for D-League and not good enough for the NBA, where he has that. He's in between the two.
David Stockton.
Oh, yeah. John Stockton was amazing. Wow. Little bit of blasphemy there. You know how many times during the game I would yell that? Because who was it who was
Let's
guarding?
Let's go, John!
Gary Payton.
Yeah, Gary Payton Jr. is guarding, you know, David Stockton Jr. Yeah. And you're kind of looking at it going, okay, this is happening. what year am I in right now?
David Stockton blocked Gary Payton Jr. And the crowd went nuts.
But again, so I must have called him John 50 times while I was at Summer League. But David Stockton and him seem to have that exact same problem where they're a step above D-League and they're just not quite. There's just one part of his game that's missing and I can't even put a finger on it. It's just something. His hustle is there. His effort is there. He's working. He's running. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. But, man, there's just something. There's just one piece that isn't falling.
We have a Knicks fan in here. And you know who Duye Dukin reminds me of, Eli? And he's going to make you laugh a little bit. Because he defensively, he struggles. Offensively, he's a good shooter. If he's wide open, he can knock it down. Steve Novak. That's who he reminds me of. This is not going to be on the game, but do you guys remember the last team Steve Novak ever played for?
Oh, gosh.
The Thunder?
No, that's wrong.
Was it the Raptors?
That's wrong, too. Joe?
Kings.
Wrong. Milwaukee Bucks.
I just had to say that just because we're in a room filled with Kings and I have no idea.
All right, so moving away from Summer League, the last topic that we're going to talk about here before we move on to the game and wrap up the show is the Sacramento Kings have claimed Lamar Patterson off of waivers. He is a passing, playmaking small forward that averaged like 6 points a game through 35 contest appearances for the Hawks last season. Any thoughts, anybody? Eli, any thoughts on a guy like Lamar Patterson, a playmaking small forward?
I don't really think that's what the Kings need.
Oh, that's okay. That's one.
It's the same thing as a lot of the moves. So on draft night, there was a choice to be made. Do they go after guards, and they got past all the guards they liked, so they decided to go and fix their defense? Because those were the two options. You either can pick up a guard that you really love, or you're going to fix your defense. And I think Patterson coming in is one more step towards that defensive side, where he's going to be a defender that can be relied upon.
If he can play on the ball defense well, on the perimeter especially, because you say he's a small forward, if he can handle himself on the perimeter down, then that could actually be a really good acquisition. But I feel like the Kings have this horrible repetitive history of just drafting and acquiring the same player over and over and over again.
I just don't understand it. I know that they're looking for a playmaking guard forward, which is exactly what he is. But, I mean, you've already got the you already have on your roster at that small forward position and at the shooting guard position. We talked about it. Aaron Afol, Garrett Temple, Ben McMoore, now Malachi Richardson. Small forward spot, you have Rudy Gay, Omri Caspi, Matt Barnes, and now you got another guy who's supposedly you're passing.
But for under $1 million, you're backing up the fact that if they move Rudy Gay and Ben McLemore, you're going to need that guy. And at a price of under $1 million.
But what are the Kings going to be getting back at the same time for that small forward? Because I don't think
they're looking for a point guard.
That's true. They definitely are looking for a point
guard. They're
not
looking for another shooting guard or another small forward. If they trade those three guys, they're looking for a point guard. Because tell me who's on the roster right now that you start in the NBA with a smile on your face at the point.
Yes. Oh, he's taking Darren Collison.
Okay. I meant somebody who's not going to be in jail on opening day.
Hey, we don't know that yet.
I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying. I mean, he's at least going to be suspended for one game.
We're going to say 15 to 20. That's my guesstimation.
I still say 5, but whatever. The point is nobody knows. And either way, no matter what happens, opening night, you got to put somebody on the floor and say, you're my one.
There's a 15-man roster, 12-man active. They have to put bodies in jerseys. I mean, there's only so much talent out there, and only so many people are taking calls from 916 numbers. So it's like, you got to take what you got to take. It is what it is.
Well, what we've been told, too, is that Vlade Divac said that he's going to be still looking for a point guard, that Lamar Patterson is not the last player that they're going to be going after. I really do think that Rudy Gay is that piece to try and get them a point guard. Where is that going to be? I mean, we can talk about it. We haven't talked about the trade rumor. That would be the Boston Celtics trade rumor with the LA Clippers and things like that. Supposedly, the Kings are wanting Avery Bradley in that deal.
But he's a 2.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But if you can get a guy like Avery Bradley in that deal, I mean, is that a win? And then trying to go after something different in a different package and finding something off of free agency, I think that's still a smart idea. There's still players that we talked about 2 episodes ago, of a Ty Lawson, of a Norris Cole. You know who's still on the free agency market is still Deion Waiters. And I'm not saying he's a point guard by any means. All I'm saying is that that's a guard that the Kings seem to be showing interest in.
He's trash. You guys already have Aaron Afol and Garrett Temple. Why would you need Deion
I'm not
Waiters?
Saying that the Kings need him. All I am saying...
The Kings need a point guard.
That's all. I get it. But
they need a point guard. Look, we don't need to talk about 2 guards, 3 guards, or 4s, or 5s. They need a point. They need someone to run an offense, which they don't have.
It's either has to be Ty Lawson or Norris Cole if the Kings don't make a trade with Rudy Costa Ben, if they don't find a way to get a point guard with that, you're going to see either Ty Lawson or Norris Cole in a purple jersey next year. I don't see a way around it.
Let me ask you guys this then. Because you guys were at Summer League, you guys got to see how good Chris Dunn was playing. After seeing how good he played, does this make Ricky Rubio a little bit more expendable for Minnesota?
Yes.
Yes, by far.
Yeah.
And would you guys be okay with that? Because I have my own thoughts on that.
I'm not a huge fan. I'd rather have Ty. I think I'd rather.
I would rather
Lawson.
Have Ty Lawson, Ty, but I would rather.
I
have
would. No. Listen to my reasoning.
Years ago. Yeah.
Listen
nice.
To my reasoning. Because if the Kings sign Ty on a 1 year with a second year team option, the next year when the point guard free agency comes full blown, you haven't just signed
Lowers
somebody else.
Board.
To a long-term deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's a way better plan than getting a B-level player now. I'd rather have a C for 1 year and an A next year rather than a B for the next 4.
Yeah, and as Cal Balkina reported, Ty Lawson has said that if the Kings showed interest, he'd have, quote, unquote, yeah. Of course, would want to come to Sacramento. And I think, you know, he's a low-risk, you know, mid to high reward because of what he was. I mean, Eli saying 2 years ago, Ty Lawson, I mean, yeah, he was top 3 in the NBA.
1 year
in
removed from being, you know, top a all-star snub.
Yeah.
Know? Not last year, but year before that. You know, 2014-15 season, he was top 3 in the league in assists. He was killing it in Denver. And, you know, the just didn't pan out well for him in Houston because James Harden is just someone, a ball handler.
It also didn't work out in Indiana either, though.
Well, they didn't really give him much of a shot. He's had his alcohol problems. He's got his DUIs and everything else. And, you know, last year was an off year. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's a horrible guard now that he's fallen off and he can't play because he had one bad year. Let's, you know, if the Kings want to give him a shot, they should because he's been an all-star snub for a while. You know, he's that good.
Yeah, no, he has all the potential and the playing ability. It's just you almost need to hire a guy to follow him around and slap anything out of his hand stupid that he tries to do.
But see, maybe that's the thing. Is like there's so much money being thrown around now that maybe this is where someone realizes that, of course, at his point of the career where he's 28 years old. Yeah. You know, he's coming to that peak of his career where this could be his last contract after this season. So you say a one-year deal with a team option, and he proves that he's worthy to be a starter, because I feel he is a starting caliber player what he did in Denver over Darren Collison. I'm high on Darren Collison because I think he's a starting caliber player. I don't think he's a starting point guard in this league to move your franchise anywhere. And we've talked about this countless times. My thing is that if the Kings are trying to move Rudy Gay, and I'm going to bring this back full around here, is if the Kings are trying to move Rudy Gay and Ricky Rubio does become expendable, I'm okay with that option. And I was talking with Eli prior to the show, just driving up in here into the studio, is that I'm still interested to see if the Phoenix Suns become an option, because Devin Booker looks stronger. Devin Booker was out in Vegas,
He had a summer league that was amazing.
I mean, he's looking nice out there.
He had the best summer league out of anybody I saw.
Devin Booker is really nice, and he's getting buffer. His shot's still going down. And what he did last season for a depleted Phoenix team and being able to carry the team offensively as a rookie – they need to find a way to get him on the floor. And you can't have a three-guard lineup of Knight, Bledsoe, and Booker. So one of those guys become expendable. Maybe it's Bledsoe because that's where they get their biggest return, but I'm really interested in a guy like Brandon Knight. The injuries worry me, but his contract is a full year longer than Eric Bledsoe, who's coming off of two knee surgeries in the past three seasons. And that's something that I'm looking at. And I know a lot, and I get it, Eric Bledsoe healthy, Jamal Crawford called him Baby LeBron. And it's good to see it. He's a shooter. He's aggressive off the boards. He's aggressive defensively. I like him, but you know, I think Brandon Knight's still a viable option. Ty Lawson, Norris Cole is an option for the Kings, and then there's still who did I bring up? Ricky Rubio.
And so, also, Nate Robinson's out there.
No team, not even a football team wants him. What's going on?
So the answer, if I was Vladdy right now, if I had the ability to do anything I wanted, you sign Ty to a 1 year with a second year team option. And you go out there and trade and try to get those Brooklyn picks out of the hypothetical trade everybody's been talking about, where it's between Blake going to the Celtics giving up picks, and the Kings giving up Rudy. I think that would be an amazing deal, because now you have a point guard that'll get you through this year. You have the money next year to do whatever you want and try to lure somebody in here. And then you also have, you know, so you have a fieldable roster this year. It's not going to be great, but you're not going to
be good at all.
No, but you're not going to do much worse than you did last year. And with a coach that can actually build some people up.
I still have my take on this team that I'm saving for the season preview. But I think the team had a good offseason because they're looking forward to 2017 in the big free agency class. And that could be a huge debate for a different show.
That's a gamble.
It's a gamble that the Kings are willing to take because there's better prospects out there.
I'm just saying, like, as a Knicks fan, that's what the Knicks mantra has been since.
You guys are taking a gamble with Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose.
What I'm saying is every year, it's next year we're going to sign someone in free agents. And then free agency comes and they don't sign anybody. And then the upcoming season, they're trash. And it's been like that for a while. So it's frustrating to see the Kings do essentially the same thing.
But that's why I say that the picks are so important. So you would have at least one draft pick high from next year, because the Celtics got it from Brooklyn. Yeah. So the Brooklyn's Nets are going to be horrible next year. You're going to get a high somewhere in the lottery pick. You're also going to have the option of free agency, and you're going to have a fieldable roster this year. Between those two things, you have to gamble somewhere.
Of course, yeah.
And the only way to get players is the draft and free agency. So between those, you have a good shot at
both. The
Kings
haven't showed good in any of those. The draft has not been that well. I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein is nice, but Thomas Robinson, Jimmer Fredette, Nick Stauskas. I mean, the promise there has not been good. So where do you want to take the gamble on possibly getting the number 8 pick again?
And but next year's draft is nice. A lot deeper. We'll talk about that a lot later in the year, but
again,
it's a lot deeper than
the gamble. There is a question mark, and I don't want to hold anything to this new coaching staff on the development of players until we see what happens with these rookies. But the Kings haven't showed any promise in that area of developing young players. They haven't shown promise in free agency. I like Aaron Aflalo, but he's 3, maybe 4 years past his prime and can't do anything defensively. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can talk about when we do the season
preview. They did a brilliant job of signing people correctly, though. They didn't overpay, and they did the right amount of years for everybody.
We'll get to that when we get to the season preview. But that is our show covering the Summer League, Lamar Patterson, things like that.
One saved round. Isaiah Cousins only got to play in the last two games. He looked pretty good.
He looks good. I think that he proved that he deserves to be at least going to training camp. I don't, because they didn't sign him. Out of all the players, the Kings signed Richardson.
All their first rounders. Yeah,
they signed all the first rounders. Isaiah Cousins, I think, is going to be on a made good deal. Basically, come on into training camp. We'll get you into D League. Well, you can stay on this roster.
Don't first rounders get guaranteed contracts anyway? I'm pretty sure first round draft picks are guaranteed.
That's I don't know.
True. I'm not gonna say you're wrong. I'm not gonna say you're right either.
I can't say that either way. But,
but all right. So that anybody have last bullet in the here? No.
Actually, yeah. One more. Do you think about David Stockton's play down there? You think he should get a shot to come up?
I think he's gonna get a shot at training camp, but he's gonna stay in the D League. Anybody else deny that?
Because he looked a lot better this year than he did last year.
He's just so small.
I agree with you, but he was moving around people very, very, very well.
It's also Summer League.
I know, but I just thought I'd throw it out there because you know a lot of people are asking that same question. I mean, when David they watch Stockton's those games and he's moving around people, he's you know, cutting through D-League butter player. With a hot knife.
I mean, he's a good D-League player that has still a lot to work on. He's knocking down his jumper when they're wide open. Here, let's throw it to the other guy who was out there. Do you think David Stockton, after what you've seen him do, because, I mean, he was a big part of that team after the Kings got blown out by, what, 40 points in their first game?
They the needed worst score in Summer League history.
They needed a point guard, and he came in
he
and
he came in and he stabilized the ship, and he showed James Hamm. I read James Hamm's post today. He said that David Stockton has an NBA-ready game, but not an NBA body, and I could not agree more. He was making some passes and drives that looked like a starting caliber point guard would make, but then he also was getting bodied up by small point guards, and you can't do that and hope to contain somebody.
Just think about a guy like Chris Dunn, another rookie, going up against a guy like David Stockton. That's lockdown. As Shaq would say, that's barbecue chicken for Chris Dunn.
Barbecue chicken.
That's nothing for him. I mean, he's just, I think like James or Josh said the best right here is that high IQ, has the NBA-ready game.
Man, you wish you could put his brain in somebody else's body.
And Papa Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what you would pay for that player is just, yeah. But that's a wish, and we'll just move on from that because I'll go to bed crying if I consider that.
All right, guys, we're going to stop the show right here to give a shout-out to our sponsors. Everyone, go check out BrickHouseIndustries.com. Check out all their apparel from hats, shirts, and socks. And when checking out, be sure to use promo code KingsCourt, and you'll get a 10% discount right on us. After purchasing your items, if you want to have them on an app, follow them on Instagram and on Twitter at BrickHouse_IND. And now, guys, it is that time where we are going to do our very first episode of this. I'm kind of nervous, but I'm also really excited. It is time for the Trivia Rumble. Let's go. All right, so here's how the game works. Round one, Josh versus Eli. Good luck to you guys, both 0-0. You know, you're going to start building your ranks. We're going to get to a playoff type of atmosphere when we do the tournament play, but for right now, we're building records. In round one, everyone is going to be asked a total of 5 questions. These questions are worth these answers are worth 1 point. There is no stealing in this round. You guys were given the categories of what they would be, what you guys need to study up on. So I guess rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first.
My man goes first.
So you won?
No, he won.
Oh, he won? Yeah. Do you want to defer or do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, so in the category of who he played for, the first name that came up is Pablo Prigioni.
Are we talking about...
Right now. Who did he sign with?
Houston Rockets.
That is correct. Joe, give him a point. You're going to be the scorekeeper.
Ding!
So you're going to be a scorekeeper here. In the category of pop culture, what brand does Harrison Barnes rep?
Team Jordan.
That is incorrect. It is Adidas. In the category of NBA history, what player currently holds the record for most playoff games played?
Tim Duncan.
It is a Spur, but it is not Tim Duncan. It is Robert Horry.
Oh, okay.
You don't say that name in this room.
That's very true. In the category of NBA cinema, in the movie Just Right, what team does the main character Scott McKnight, played by Common, play for?
The New York Knicks.
Again, that is incorrect. It is a New York team, though. It's the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie, though.
Okay. In the category of NBA teams, it is the fifth and final question here. In what year did Charlotte change their name to the Bobcats?
2006.
It was in the 2000s, but it was not 06. It was 03.
Ugh.
So after five questions, Josh has...
one correct answer.
One correct answer. All right, Eli, are you ready for your first question?
Yes, sir.
In the category of who he played for, Alan Crabb, with what team?
Ooh, he just signed a big contract. Did he go to... shoot. Brooklyn? Yeah, Brooklyn.
That is incorrect. The Portland Trailblazers matched that offer. That is who he plays for. In the category of pop culture, who was on the cover of NBA Live 97?
Jordan.
As a former Sacramento King, it is Mitch Richmond.
Okay.
In the category of NBA history, what player has the highest career playoff free throw shooting percentage?
Rick Barry.
Incorrect. It is Mark Price at 94.4%.
I can't buy a bucket.
And in the category of NBA cinema, Shaquille O'Neal played in a movie as a superhero. What was the name of that movie?
Kazam? No, he was a genie. Yeah, Kazam. I'll go Kazam.
That is also incorrect. That is Steel.
Oh, okay.
And for your final question in the first round, in the category of NBA teams, during the first year of the David Robinson and Tim Duncan tandem, in what round did the Spurs make it in the playoffs?
They won the championship.
That is incorrect. They got knocked out in the second round by the Utah Jazz. Okay, in round two, I'm going to give you guys a number. So as of right now, Josh, you're winning. So you can either decide to still go first or go second.
I'll go second.
You'll go second? All right, Eli. Pick a number between 1 through 5.
3.
Your category is pop culture. So here's how this round works. In round two, all questions are worth 2 points. They can go down to 1 point if you decide to go down to multiple choice. Now, if you get it wrong, Josh has the opportunity to steal in this round. So making sure you get the answer right is very important. So, Eli, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Who was on the cover of NBA Live 2005?
Steve Francis.
That is incorrect. Josh, you have a chance to steal.
Really?
Carmelo Anthony.
That is correct. It is Carmelo Anthony. Give him 2 points. Big steal from Josh right there in the very first question of the second round.
That was my favorite game growing up.
Nice.
Yeah, I played 2K7. That was my... I didn't like Live that much.
Okay. Who has the bigger Twitter following? James Harden or Dwight Howard?
I'm going to assume James Harden.
That is incorrect.
I can't get one right. I'm 0 for everything.
Am I allowed to steal?
You are allowed to steal.
Is it Dwight Howard?
That is correct. Give the man 2 points.
In what year did NBA 2K start its release?
2000. Hence 2K. Or am I wrong again?
He is wrong.
All right. What is it?
2001.
That is also incorrect. It started its release in 1999.
Okay. Oh. A year before, yeah.
Okay,
that makes
that's
sense.
What should have went the other way.
And remember, Eli, you still can go down to 1 point for multiple choice in these questions.
I'm glad you guys guessed, because I'd have said like 93 just to be a...
You have two more questions here, Eli.
Let's see if I can get one.
In the videos of Uncle Drew, this one is going to be off of Chapter 4. Who did Drew play horse against? Name the NBA player.
I'm going to get multiple choice because I didn't watch this before.
Is it A, Baron Davis, B, Ray Allen, C, Kevin Love, or D, Kevin Durant? Now, this is worth 1 point,
Joe. It's Ray Allen.
Put him on the board. He's got 1 point. point.
Actually, I did watch that one now that I think about it.
And for your final question, in 2017, the NBA All-Star Game is currently scheduled to take place in what city?
It's in Charlotte.
That is 2 points. Put it on the board. What is the score after Eli's second round?
Eli has 3 and Josh has 5.
Eli has 3 and Josh. It's still a game, and you can still have a chance to steal. And you chose 3 out of the 1 through 5, correct? Yes, you did. And so, other than the number 3...
1.
Number 1. That one is... NBA Cinema. Everybody ready? Ready? Here we go. Your first question. In the movie Blue Chips, what team did Shaq play for? Remember, you can go down to multiple choice and you'll be 1 point.
Let's do the multiple choice.
Is it A, Duke, B, Western University, C, LSU, or D, UCLA?
B.
That is correct. And your second question. What movie has the main character of Calvin Cambridge?
Like Mike.
Put 2 points on the board.
I was watching that when I was playing NBA Live 05.
Nice. What was the nickname of the cousin to Jesus Shuttlesworth in the movie He Got Game?
Multiple choice.
Is it A, Weasel, B, Big Time, C, Booger, or D, Sweetness?
Let's go with Sweetness.
That is incorrect. Eli, you have a chance to steal.
It's Booger.
That is correct. Give him 1 point.
That sounded right. And yeah. I didn't want to. I thought you were messing. It's been a while.
Speaking of He Got Game, what was the number of Jesus Shuttlesworth Lincoln jersey?
22.
That is incorrect. This is a big steal for Eli.
34.
That is correct. Put 2 points on the board. What is the score with 1 question left for Josh?
6-8.
So, this is a fun one here. What was the name of the fan who switched talent with Kevin Durant in the movie Thunderstruck?
Multiple choice.
Is it A, Kevin, B, Pete, C, Josh, or D, Brian?
I'm going to go with C.
That is incorrect. This is a big steal for Eli.
All right, so list them off again.
Okay, so the question is, what was the name of the fan who switched talents with Kevin Durant in the movie Thunderstruck? Is it A, Kevin, B, Pete, C, Josh, or D, Brian?
So it's not C.
No love for Josh.
I'm going to go with Kevin.
That is incorrect. I'm sorry. The answer was D, Brian, and the score is 6-8. Moving into the third and final round. How this round works, it's complete Jeopardy. So, we need a pen and paper for them over here.
For them.
They need a piece of paper and a pen. This is how the third round works. It's complete final Jeopardy status. Eli, you have 6 points. You have 6 points you could bet. Josh, you have 8 points, meaning you have 8 points you can bet. This becomes very important because if you get this question wrong, you lose that many points as you bet. If you get it right, you get that many points. For example, if let's say Josh bet 1 point, Eli bet 6, Josh gets it wrong, Eli gets right, Eli wins. Very simple.
Fair enough.
All right, so you guys go ahead and write down the many points that you guys want to bet. Oh, you can get the category first.
Okay.
So since you guys have actually got to pick the first two for you guys' category because that's part of the game, Joe, you get to choose. Not number 1 and not number 3.
Oh, we're going to go with number... And there's no number 6 for me. Okay, number 5.
It's NBA history. So that is your guys' category for the third and final round. It is NBA history. The score is 6-8. Josh is in the lead. You guys have 10 seconds to put as many points as you guys want to bet. Joe, how are we liking this game so far? It's pretty close, pretty intense.
It's comes down to the last question.
What do you want to gamble here? 4, 3, 2, and 1.
It's you guys
fold up your guys' answers. Hand those papers over to Joe. Since the NBA / ABA merger in 1976, what team holds the record for most consecutive playoff appearances? question again is, since the NBA / ABA merger in 1976, what team holds the record for most consecutive playoff appearances?
After they write it down, I want to see if I'm right.
It's getting very intense in here. We're going to give them a few more seconds to write down an answer.
No.
Again, the question one more time, and after I read off this question, that is the end, that is when the buzzer sounds. Since the NBA / ABA merger in 1976, what team holds the record for most consecutive playoff appearances? Your guys' answers must be down, must be written down.
Are they in? They're in.
Eli, go first since you are, you know, losing right now. So what did you answer?
I answered, I bet 5 points, and I answered with the Spurs.
Josh, what did you answer with?
I bet all my points, and I answered with the Chicago Bulls.
You bet all your points?
All of them.
Your winner by 1 point is Eli Isakaroff.
It's the LA Lakers.
It is wrong. It is the Portland Trail Blazers. They did it for 21 years straight from 1982 to 2003. So by the final question in the Jeopardy round, Eli wins by 1 point because Josh bet all of his points. Wow, what a game. So let's go ahead and start with our loser here, Josh. Yes, the question
I'm
was...
I'm too mad right now.
You're pretty angry.
He took his shirt off. He looks like J.R. Smith.
Oh, yeah. Dang, he's getting all angry out here.
I didn't shake hands with anybody. I went straight to the locker room.
All right, calm down, Isaiah. So, you guys are the very first contenders in this game. Unfortunately, you did lose. You bet all your points. But now you're in it to win it. And you're starting at the bottom now. Eli's now 1-0. It's almost like a Stump the Schwab situation. But going into your next match, how do you think you're going to be preparing for something like this?
Well, I'm probably going to do a little bit more research than before I did today. So I'm not coming in. I might have to watch some more NBA movies because I haven't seen a couple of the ones you were asking me about.
Oh, yeah. I know. It kind of sucks. You might just want to read the plot and something like that because that movie was terrible.
If I would have known his name was Brian, I could have got a point.
Really, really generic name.
But, you know, you did suffer a loss, but what were your thoughts on the game?
It was a fun game. I mean, like we said, there'll be some kinks to work out, but it was fun to be a part of the first one, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. To our very first winner now, Eli Isakaroff, coming into a King studio wearing the Knickerbockers gear, comes out with a win. Eli, how are you feeling right now?
Now, first off, I'd like to thank Jesus Shuttlesworth, and he got a game. If it wasn't for that movie, I would not have been able to win.
Man, you were one booger away from getting this win, Josh.
I had to pick Josh's booger. That's
That's what it was.
It was a fun game. I'm looking forward to playing again. It was fun, competitive, and I'm appreciative to be been a part of it.
Mr. 1-0, you know, we have competitors coming over from Cowbell. We might have some people from NBC.
I had to wear the one Nick jersey.
Oh, now. He is wearing the number one Nick jersey for that 1 point, the one win he has right now. So is there something in your mind that you're thinking of going into your next match that you think you might have to study up a little bit more on? Because let's be honest, when this first game started and the round started going off, you had 0 points until the latter half of that second round. Mm-hmm. So are there things that you're going to have to be looking out for a little bit more?
Well, it goes quick, and you don't have a bunch of opportunities, so you got to make each question count. Personally, I'd like to see a little more actual NBA questions rather than pop culture.
You landed on pop culture, though.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that it'd be fun to be able to answer more questions directly related to game and play and players rather than who's on cover at what. But, you know, it's all part of the game.
That's
fun.
The pop culture start of it. That's one category.
Really shocked that Dwight Howard has more Twitter followers than James Harden.
6.67 million to his 3.37 million.
That surprises me.
That is our show, guys. You guys let us know what you think about the game. Hashtag the game. Hashtag the King's Court to start joining in on the conversation. We want to hear your thoughts on these rookies. Everything that's going on. Again, check out BrickHouseIndustries.com for all of their apparel. Joe, where can the fans find you online?
As always, you can find me at Sac Sports Morgan, you can find me at Sac Sports Nation, and you can find me at the King's Court.
And you can also find him driving around Sacramento in a wrapped up car.
Oh man, if you can't find me now, you're blind.
And Josh, let the fans out there know where they can find you online. And some of the things that you're doing for one of our sponsors, Laughs Unlimited, over there.
Well, you can find me at JMeans on Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat. And I've been working with Laughs Unlimited, going to the open mics, trying my funny jokes out.
Funny jokes from Mr.
And
Lightman.
My not-so-funny jokes.
They're pretty funny. I was at your first one. It's hilarious.
Well, so. Thank you. Thanks for having me here today.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming out. Thank you for being a part of the game. Mr. Eli Zakharov, thank you for coming and returning to the show after a two-year break absence.
I'm on a bit of a hiatus, but I'm back.
You're back for a little while. You're now 1-0. Where can fans start quizzing you online?
Check me out at Funky Diabetic on Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter, funky_diabetic with two C's. And other than that,
you know, we hear you're also making some like beats and stuff like that. Where can I hear some of your beats for your instrumentals and things like that?
SoundCloud. Forgot about that. SoundCloud. Funky Diabetic as well on SoundCloud.
The Funky Diabetic. That's how you.
Funky Diabetic. Okay. Yeah. Rest in peace, Fife.
And you guys can follow me on all social media platforms of at BM Center. Be sure to subscribe to this show on iTunes and on Stitcher. And while you're there, be sure to leave us a rating so we can continue growing up the iTunes charts. Be sure to bookmark SatKingsNation.com for all of your in-depth coverage of the Sacramento Kings. And until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, bye-bye.